podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Dr. Mike Gustafson, Clint Scott, I'm Aaron Dickens.
A forlorn Aaron Dickens.
With you until 6, we'll have Red Raider men's basketball for you beginning at 7 o'clock, Texas Tech hosting Baylor. It's Tuesday, January 17th, 3 o'clock. There's no Big 12 schedule. All hope is lost. I had to give Clint a dollar that I lost to him in a wager. He is now rubbing it on his face, which is about the dumbest thing you can possibly be doing. Damn, with the bro. Dollar bill.
Feel like the I got a dollar, I got a dollar, I got a dollar.
Hey. Yeah. So, yeah, massively bummed, frustrated, irritated.
Might be March before we see that schedule, dude.
I mean,
hopefully they can get it out in time for like August, you know.
I mean, golly.
Are you irritated because the schedule didn't come out or because you lost the bet to me?
Yes, both.
Both.
Okay. More the latter than the former.
Okay. Well, the
because I just know it's going to go to some kind of like stupid thing, like
Jayhawk Sox.
Jayhawk Sox, yeah. Or like a Bill Self commemorative toupee or something. Just
signed
something
by Bill Self.
Something Jayhawk-y like that.
Yeah, and the other thing I thought about around the time that I thought we should be getting the schedule, because I think when we get it, it's going to be a late morning type thing, 10, 11, 12, something like that. And what we got around noon today was Brett McMurphy announcing that the Big 12 will have their schedule out tomorrow.
Pac-12.
Pac-12. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, announced the time, told you that what channel to watch, the whole deal. And I thought, that's pretty smart, actually. Now, you know, insert 4,000 Twitter replies, what if nobody gets that schedule? But still, you could go ahead and, you know, go ahead and put it on your channel as must-see content there, and then it's still going to get released on Twitter 20 minutes later or whatever. But, yeah, I thought, man, that's kind of salt in the wound there. We're looking for our schedule, not that one.
ACC releasing its schedule. Hey, Dollar Pants.
Sorry, I'm too busy searching for Jalen Daniels trading cards.
Yeah,
is that your department here? Yeah. Is this your department there, Bill
it's
Self?
All my department.
No, well, good. We know who to blame.
Yeah, so, I mean, ACC is releasing its schedule on January 30th. They released that kind of news today. Hey, tune in on the ACC network for the four people that have that. You can watch the schedule reveal.
I get it on Optimum.
Okay, well, there you go. You're one of the four. And so for the Big 12, it's going to be sitting here going, oh, it'll be out soon, is so typical Big 12 that we thought that it would be this brand new day. Brett Yormark, you're saying sayonara, which is Japanese, to Texas and Oklahoma. And you're this brand new day, the days of Dan Beebe and, you know, that era is gone, done and dusted. And then here we are over-promising, under-deliver. Oh, it'll be out in October. No, it'll be mid-December. No, now we're kind of thinking mid-Jan. Yeah, you know what? We might not play football.
We might all just have a bunch of teams ready to play. And just calling around going, hey, you want to play this weekend? I guess what I would say to you is just something similar to what you said about the Chris Beard. Everybody wanted closure on that. What are they going to do? When's Texas going to do something? And we thought, well, you know, the difference between 2 and 3 weeks someday down the road is not going to really matter. To you, I would say them releasing this thing on the 13th or the 17th or the 23rd or whatever, and the grand scheme's not going to matter, but I sure am ready to see it.
That's a very mature take of you,
I
guys.
Know. I hope we got it. I mean,
but I feel like
I can't
Charlie
believe
Brown
we
the
won't.
Football here.
Yeah, no, I get it. I totally agree.
That's the difference to me from that and like the Beard thing or hiring a new coach is that you've kind of been given these official or quasi-official or pseudo-official kind of time frames, and every time we have gotten to those points, the football's been pulled away from us, and we've landed smack on our rear ends.
Makes me wonder if, and it probably go think overthinking this considerably, makes me wonder if there's any new developments with the OU Texas stuff, and there's not, but it's just, you know, it's just.
And I mean,
here we are.
I get it, right? Like, I understand that unlike the ACC, which is, to be fair, transitioning to a new scheduling format, and unlike the Pac-12, at least for this coming season, those conferences don't have nearly as many moving parts as what the Big 12 does.
Yeah, right? Adding four and dropping two over the next 2 years.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that complicates factors, no doubt. But at the same time, you've had, like, forever to figure this out.
Yeah.
Forever. Sandlot forever.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that they wouldn't have, like, hey, here's the schedule if scenario A happens. Here's the schedule if scenario B happens. Here's, you know, like, that part was probably thought out and is in a can. And then it's just a matter of what they're going to commit to. But, and at this point, they may have committed internally, and now they're just waiting for the perfect splashy moment to get everyone excited. But, and I don't know, you know, probably not on a Friday at 5 o'clock. That's usually reserved for bad news. So, you know, maybe we'll get it here in the next 48 hours.
We'd love to get your thoughts and your comments today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark hotline. You can reach us 806-771-0973. We will have Cooper's girls basketball. Maybe one too many S's there. Cooper girls basketball at Abilene Cooper tonight on 100.7 The Score. Boys will follow at 7:30. Friendship basketball tonight will be shifting to sunny 97.7. Because, of course, we'll have the Red Raiders, the basketball team, on TT973 tonight at 7 o'clock. So over on sunny 97.7, Friendship Girls and then Friendship Boys taking on Midland Legacy. Big, big game for the Red Raiders tonight. Really, we have reached the point in this season, with the record being what it is, the resume being as non-existent as it is, to where every game from here on out is a big, big game, right? And that remains true whether you win these games or lose these games. Although at some point, if you continue to lose them, you won't have any big games left until you play in the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, I think there's 13 games left on the conference schedule. That's not a surprise. I mean, grab a sheet of paper and figure that out. Grab the schedule and figure that out. Because basketball got their schedule released, right, Aaron? And then the one game at LSU.
Too soon.
I know. And then the one game at LSU. So there's 14 games there, and you're guaranteed one in Kansas City. So, you know, the math is – I mean, and listen, this is totally – as we've talked about this over the last week or two, the math to get to eight wins or eight more wins or whatever it is in this stretch, it's totally fan stuff, observer stuff, whatever. Because, you know, the team needs, you know, the team, I'm sure, the coaches, everybody, their focus is on 8 o'clock tonight. Because that's a big challenge. But we've said this, they win tonight, it's their biggest win of the year so far.
More Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from TT973, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, it's the Juice on TT973 and TT973.com alongside Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. We'd love to get your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. Time for some headlines. The Texas Tech men's basketball team will look to secure its first Big 12 win of the season tonight against 21st-ranked Baylor. Tip-off 8 o'clock from the USA Hour. Pregame coverage will start for you at 7 here on TT973. Red Raiders are 10-7, 0-5 in the Big 12. Baylor, meanwhile, in a bit of a disappointing stretch of its own, although not quite at the level of Texas Tech. 12-5 overall, 2-3 in conference play. Red Raiders are 8-2 at home this season. They've lost their last two home games in a row. Haven't heard of this in a while. The men's basketball game between Iowa and Northwestern, scheduled for tomorrow in Iowa City, will not be played due to COVID-19 health and safety protocols within the Northwestern program. Two programs will work with the Big Ten to reschedule the game. You too can join the program. Would love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark hotline. Gus, do you want to feel really old?
It doesn't take much, but sure.
This one hit me in a way that not many have.
My birthday's on Friday, so it doesn't take much.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you got to push me over that edge.
Clint, are you going to bring cake
on Friday? Yeah, that's right, dude.
Absolutely. Yeah, this one, part of my dog.
Flavored soda water?
Yeah.
You prefer white or chocolate cake?
No, the two, chocolate.
Or do you have a preference of, you know, strawberry or?
Oh, no, I changed. Okay. Chocolate, fine, whatever.
You guys, you jerked it down?
I did.
Okay.
But I'm bringing red velvet because it's my favorite.
Oh, so. Nice. He's I'm not really a fan. He's bringing weak old jambalaya. Gonna heat that up.
Yeah, I'm gonna do like the old thing where you just put any disgusting thing inside a Jell-O, but it's gonna be leftover jambalaya. It's just
what your grandma made. I actually
read a story the other day that Jell-O or like gelatin was gonna come back this year.
Cheese weenies and gelatin.
Mm. All right, this made me feel ancient.
Okay.
All right. Do you remember 20 some odd years ago for a time? There was a relatively fierce debate inside this state about whether the quarterback at A&M or Texas was better. They came out of high school at the same time in 2002, Reggie McNeil at A&M and Vince Young at Texas. Obviously, we know Vince Young, far, far superior quarterback, would lead the Longhorns to the 2005 National Championship. But there for a couple of years at least, it was an interesting debate. You could make your case. Well, I just saw this.
Whose kid is in the portal or whatever? Whose kid is transferring or signing with somebody?
Reggie McNeil Jr. is already getting college interest. He's in the class of 2025.
Wow.
So he'll be going into his junior season this fall at Houston Heights High School.
So finishing his sophomore year.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I kind of feel that way when Marco Cunningham's son is Tech baseball, committing from the class of 2025 as well, and he's a high end Team USA type guy. But it's the same thing. I'm going, man, it is too soon. Now Marco's a couple years older than those guys, and so maybe 4 or 5 years older, but still, it's. Yeah, you sound like your parents when you start talking about, I remember when his kid was doing the, you know.
I know, but, man.
Yeah. A couple hours ago at the office, somebody was going, I remember when gas was 99 cents a gallon. I said, yeah, every one of it sounds like your parents. You know, when your grandparents used to go, I used to go to the movie for a nickel, that kind of stuff. Man.
D1 Baseball released its preseason top 25. Red Raiders on there, barely, 24th in the country. Other Big 12 programs ranked. Oklahoma State is the highest ranked Big 12 team. They're number 9. TCU was number 15. And then Texas Tech at 24. That's it, only 3 teams in their preseason top 25. And granted, there are a ton of baseball polls.
Oh, yeah.
Way more baseball polls than there are football or men's basketball. Tech has been as high as maybe 17th in some of those,
mm-hmm.
give or take. Interesting that Texas is not on there.
Yeah, and I was a little...
or Oklahoma.
Yeah. Both of those two had a ton of people move along. The entire lineup kind of stuff. Just a ton of guys, really veteran clubs that were talented and drafted and moved on. But And, you know, I'll be surprised if Texas isn't in the conversation, you know, as we get along. They've got a key guy coming off of Tommy John surgery, like the full year rehab and all that stuff. But who's a high-end dude, and if he's what they think he'll be a first-rounder on the mound. And so was really good for them 2 years ago as a freshman. So, you know, I, in the end, I think a lot of it will shake out. But, it, you know, what that gives you is a sense of where, you know, who, because I think I had told you that my guess would be that TCU might be picked one. You know, we'd be in there 2, 3, 4 somewhere.
In the Big 12 preseason
bowl. Yeah, and that's not what this is.
Sure.
Because that would be the what the coaches, I believe, decide that, I think.
And that'll be coming out almost any day now, you think.
Mm-hmm, I would think so. But I was a little surprised to see OSU that far ahead of TCU but you know what? A lot of teams this year, it felt like the Big 12 turned over a ton of players. And so, you know, we've talked about this before. The conversation in this sort of thing is who did what last year and who's got what back.
Right.
And NOSU and TCU probably have more back than most. You know, OSU's got a 19 home run guy back and a freshman All-American back. And, you know, you think, well, is that it? But, and there's some other players in there, don't get me wrong, but in a year in which so many players have moved on, that definitely puts them up near the top. TCU, I thought, would be the team that would be picked first, and I'm my guess is Braden Taylor's the preseason player of the year, but I don't know. He was a Team USA guy, and so we'll see. I don't think there's huge gaps between any of these teams, but it's good to be part of the publicity, whether that's 24 or 17, probably isn't keeping anybody, they're probably losing sleep over it. One of the interesting things that came out today was, maybe in conjunction with this, and I think it was the same, I think it was a D1 ranking, or either that or maybe we missed it and just got brought to my attention, but freshman class number 15 in the country and for Tech baseball, and I think that's a good group that, you know, and you're right about the 16 and 17 and two of the other polls for Tech. So 16, 17, 24, kind of a composite rankings, I guess, perfect game in collegiate baseball, now D1. So it's good to be ranked in all of them. But yeah, I think this is going to be a talented freshman class. I think there's two or three pitchers that could contribute as the year goes along. I think there could be any number of position players, and you know, you get past like Bazell and Hudson White, and I think we may have different names in there all the time early on. It's going to be an interesting season. And I think it's because there's a gob of competition, and not sometimes you get that deal where it's like, I can't name a starting lineup because I don't know if maybe I can play. I think this year it's quite the opposite. I think there are dudes that can play all over the place.
You'll play a top five A&M team in Houston in the Shriners College Classic, March 4th. And, of course, Stanford, arguably your premier non-conference series, which is in April. Right now they're ranked third, of course. Plenty of time for that to kind of fluctuate between now and April 10th and 11th.
I think, and I would guess that Big 12 schedule aside of the non-conference weekends, I bet you Gonzaga, I mean, which is the four game opening weekend, you know, I bet you Gonzaga is as good as anybody. They're gonna be good. That's a heck of a way. You're not opening with Sisters of the Poor there, that's for sure. They've been good. That's been a rising program. Grand Canyon will be in there good as well. But I mean just talking about weekends to be excited about right off the bat with the Zags. They've been an NCAA tournament team the last couple of years and sent some dudes in the first round, some pitchers, and I mean they've start churning out players and having success in a way that, you know, that's a good respected program.
More Tech Talk next on Double T 97.3.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey there, how you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus And Clint, I'm Aaron. We'd love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark hotline. We'd love to hear from you. 806-771-0973. Raiders Dad says this in the chat line. 80, where the expletive deleted is my football schedule? I don't know, man. I'm with you. I am very frustrated. And yeah, how are you going to let the Pac-12 get that done before you?
I haven't seen you this glum since the last day of summer vacation, Spanky.
I love the last day of summer vacation. Are you kidding me?
Oh, okay. Like in third grade you did?
Oh, no.
That's what I meant.
Sorry. Almost 40 me does. Yeah. This in the chat line. Although, really, at some point, didn't you just kind of feel like, all right, I'm...
Yeah, once you get older.
Well, even when you're a kid.
Yeah.
This in the chat line. The good news is the Cowboys won in dominant fashion and are on to the second round.
Just go ahead and buy your Super Bowl tickets now, dude.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, Brock Purdy is the only person standing between you and the NFC Championship game.
Jalen Hurts.
You know, what? Who's scared of Brock Purdy? Not me. At some point, he'll turn back into a pumpkin.
Oh.
This and the Yates.
Yeah, the Cowboys pushed them around last night. They're not a whole lot to else to add to that.
Well, and Brady looked old.
Yeah, he did. That pick, it's hard to look at the final score of that game and go, oh, they were going back and forth. But, they score, he gets it, goes right back down. He had a chance to pressure a kicker on a night where that was a mess, and he throws that pick in the end zone that, Clint could have caught that thing.
Mm.
Oh, in my sleep. Also, Brady looked like a quarterback who shouldn't be leaned on to throw 60-plus times in a game.
And he led the NFL in attempts this year because they had zero running game. And they had a crap ton of O-line injuries and stuff. So maybe the Bucs getting to the playoffs was a tip of the cap. Like, hey, good job. You without Tom Brady, you guys are 6-11 or whatever. I don't know.
Would it be slightly the best and probably the worst division in football?
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. They had a lot of that going for him too. But, the Cowboys polished them off as they should have. And they were a road favorite going into that game.
Sure, so, three-point favorite.
Yep.
We'll take on San Francisco this weekend.
Should be a good weekend of
football. Do you buy into the rest advantage?
Well,
for the Niners, they'll have, I think, 2 days extra rest?
No, not that. Not so much that. I think the bigger deal there would be that bye week and just you not getting, your team getting the extra week to get guys healthy. Like, I think that's going to be a bigger deal for Hurts than, because he missed those couple of games, played the final week of the regular season, that kind of stuff. Getting that home field, that to me is a bigger deal. Now, none of it's insurmountable. I can't do it off the top of my head, but there's plenty of examples of road teams playing through the full deal and winning and getting to the Super Bowl. So there's plenty of examples out there. But just in very general terms, I think, Mahomes and those guys are probably sitting pretty too. There's probably some linemen playing that, just that this week, an old lineman getting banged up and get rolled up or whatever. And that dude's hobbling through practice and everything and trying to get ready to play it. And then you're playing against a team of dudes that are all fresh and didn't get rolled up on last week. It's a big deal.
Sooner in Lubbock says this, the 49ers have a running game and they are going to use it. Blake has this question. I'll ask y'all the same question that I asked the morning drive. Does this spell the end of Brady's career or does he try to come back and end on a good season with a new team? I think he's definitely coming back. I don't think it will be with the Bucs. I don't know that you blow up your personal life just to play one more season, right?
And he doesn't strike me as the kind of old dude that wants to hang around and mentor someone. Hang around for a couple more years and mentor. And just no. doesn't feel that way. So I don't know. That may be a little I don't want to say problematic because I think he's still good. But I mean the handwriting's on the wall there.
Do you have good handwriting?
No. Look at that right there. I got a notebook full Pretty of that crap. Just scratching. And the worst thing is, I think the older I get, the more, a lot of the times what I'm doing is scribbling down notes, hear something, read something, grab a pencil, jot it down. And so the jot kind of crappy speed handwriting is taking over because Miss Ratchet isn't riding over me and then my penmanship anymore because most of that stuff's done.
Sure.
Like you do. And so the handwriting I do now is garbage. Decipherable only by me, probably.
Clint?
No, mine is awful.
Terrible?
Yeah, I mean, unreadable.
You got to introduce your visitor? You got to guess.
This is Kyler Carrasco.
Hi. Hey, Kyler. How's your handwriting, Kyler?
Pretty good.
Nice. Well, yeah, I mean.
No cursive, though. I can't do that. Just my signature.
Yeah, I got you. Sure.
Smartest decision I ever made was foregoing any kind of like actual signature, you know, with like, you know, two A's and, you know, the Dickens. Sure. And it's literally just, it's almost like a Zorro Z.
Oh, nice.
Except it's kind of inverted to where you get the peak of an A, right? And then it's just a line.
Yeah, mine just looks like a roller coaster because I just keep, like, I do the C and all of a sudden there's a bunch of little loops. And then at a certain point, I just give up.
Is it an, like a the same number of loops every time, or do you like go into it going, all right, man, six loops this time?
Yeah, no, there's
six loops.
There's exactly four loops.
Push it, seven.
There's four loops for the four letters that aren't C.
Okay. This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Someone asks, Gus, why are there so many baseball poles?
I would guess that
is it maybe the lack of any kind of one dominant pole that has allowed the other poles to kind of just pop up.
Yep, you're taking the words right out of my mouth. I think the history of it, because for a while there, USA Today had a pole, and they're probably late 90s, early 2000s. And so their pole had some prominence, but it's faded away. And so what, if we were charting them or graphing them, you would have these hills and valleys, like much like your signature, just the, of what was there. But the steady ones have been the ABCA pole, which is the Coaches Association pole. And Baseball America has been around since about 81, as has Collegiate Baseball. Those have been the two publications that have been around forever. Now, D1 Baseball has taken, has stolen a lot of their thunder because they've jumped right into the, they've probably done a better job with just true coverage of baseball and of Division I baseball for sure, and in a digital era. Baseball America does, they'll do a little bit of high school, a ton of minor league and major league stuff, a lot of prospects and stuff, But D1 baseball is all devoted to Division I baseball, and so
it's in the name.
Yeah, exactly. And it feels like they've sort of jumped to the front, at least in terms of informed media types. Perfect Game has pretty good platform now, but hadn't been around forever. I mean, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8. eight. But probably if I was really going to put weight on two or three of them, it'd probably be some, the National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association. They're, one thing I know about them is it's a ton of media, a lot of college baseball beat writers and, I don't know if hacks or, people like me that cover Jamie, somebody like that. Mm-hmm. I truly think it's like a $15 membership a year. It's just, you get a few email newsletters and stuff. You get to vote on that. You get to vote on the Hauser Trophy. So, that's a pretty informed media thing. But, yeah, I think it's exactly what you're saying. There hasn't just been that linchpin AP, UPI football thing like we've had, in that sport forever.
More Tech Talk next on Double T 97.3.
Podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today from the First United Bank Double T 97.3 studio with you until 6 o'clock. We'll have Texas Tech men's basketball on the air for you this evening. Tip off 8 o'clock. Pre-game coverage, yours at 7.
You know, it doesn't take much to upstage Big Ginger in there, right? The mere mention of Kyler's name, texts, scouting reports come pouring in. Quite the soccer player. Much like Clint was a great
collegiate hitter.
College hitter.
Yeah.
This is where he teaches her how to do a hotkey.
Oh. Don't do
Clint
the 17
goes down as
one.
A great collegiate hitter. Clint was, yeah, but so Kyler, quite the soccer player. Good work by you, girl.
Yeah, I'm retired now, but when I was younger, that was when I was the real star.
Nice.
Yeah.
That girl. Clint was never. Yeah, so you're good there. You got that room taken care of. Good work.
We get this in the EH Flooring Center challenge. What will it take for Tech to win tonight? Tech's favorite. They're a 2-point favorite for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, Baylor's. I mean, you know, we've touched on this, and it really wasn't in the context of any Tech commentary, just more of a, you know, the more in relationship to expectations, I think preseason expectations. Of course, the book isn't written, but, you know, prior to the season, it was Kansas, Texas, Baylor. Mm-hmm. Kansas, Texas, Baylor. And, you know, they kind of limped out of the chute with regard to, at least with regard to Big 12 play. Now, there's plenty to talk about with these dudes. They got some dudes that can really shoot it as good as Pop Isaacs is. They've got a freshman that can match that. That's a really good player. I think I should have looked this up, or I should have made a note of it. But I think they've got a this freshman guard that I'm thinking of is a late first round mock type.
Oh, Keontae George?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like showing up on some NBA mock. I mean, kind of in the same – I'm not saying he's this kind of player, although it may not be a bad comp, but kind of a Jamias Ramsey-ish, you know, good shooter, late first round, NBA-type prospect. And so, yeah, then they've got that, and then they've got a couple of veteran guards. And so, you know, they've – I think Coach Adams – on his show last night, maybe Hack said this, 101 of their 161 threes. So basically a little over 60% of their threes come from two guys, Flagler and George. And so,
and George is viewed as like a lottery round, a late lottery type
there pick. You go. Yeah. And so they're very, I'm not saying they're very guard oriented, but I think their strength is in their guards. They've had the same big player, the big guy, Flo Thamba, I think, has been down there for a while, and he's their big guy, you know, so he's third or fourth year player, and he's their big guy. So I don't want to say they don't have anything inside, but I think their scoring and all that juice comes from their guard play. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you got to guard the perimeter, you got to get in the head and the face, and I mean, I guess I could say that, and that's it, but these dudes can – you know, they're pretty guard oriented, and you know, I'll be curious to see, you know, things hopefully settle in around AMAC in terms of having a 4 and a 5, and maybe O'Banner getting more comfortable. I heard the stat, he in Big 12 play, 5 games, 21 turnovers and 2 assists.
And O'Banner?
Yeah, and I don't know. I think I got that right. And I don't know how much of an assist guy he should be, but I know that's not a good good ratio.
Yeah.
And so now he's also been asked to do different things, which is where getting AMAC back may push dudes back into where they belong. You know, so, I mean, we'll see. One of the other guests on Coach Adams' show last night was a staffer. Not one of the three assistants, but a director of recruiting. And he talked about the roster construction, and he alluded to something that you and I had discussed, the idea of how much of this team was built around the idea of having 6'11" Fardaws AMAC in the middle of everything, and the rest of it was supposed to sort of fall in place around it. And so you know, the challenge there is it's got to happen quick. I mean, given where they are in conference play, it can't start out 0-7 or 0-8, certainly. And two home games down that didn't produce wins, and so I would think that it's getting late to be chasing home wins, but it needs to start tonight for those guys. And then I'll be there. Wear white, wear my white, and get after it tonight. That's what I'm gonna do.
I mean, really, listen, I'm not gonna go on some whiteboard and break down X's and O's. That's not what I'm here for. But it seems to me, if you can just avoid the lengthy scoring droughts, mm-hmm. right? Listen, it's a game of runs. We all get this, right? This is not breaking news. But in every game this season, it's a Big 12 game. You know, you've been in it for the most part, Iowa State notwithstanding, right? You had you were up by two with like 30 seconds left against Oklahoma. You were up against TCU, you were up against Texas in the second half, and it just you just can't get anything done, right?
Finish, yeah.
And so I don't think that you need to reinvent the wheel here, right? You're not having to go reinvent your offense or change your philosophy or, you know, dramatically shake up the lineup or playing time or anything like that. Just execute better. Right? I mean, just disappear for 3-4 minute stretches.
And, you know, I'm sure it's as cliche, and everybody associated with it's tired of talking about it, and they understand this better than anyone. But I think the first key when Hacks asked Coach Adams last night, you know, just give me a good old fashioned key to winning the game. And he said, need to play for 40 minutes, you know. I mean, I'm sure it's, agonizing may be a strong word, but I'm sure he's, you know, he don't want to be saying that stuff, but that's a fact. And so hopefully, more AMAC and less of some of those other young guys that aren't really ready to carry much of a load in Big 12 play will help. Maybe there's an opportunity to get a few more minutes out of some fresher bodies that aren't down at the end of the bench. I don't know, but yeah, I would also think that, you know, if there was ever a night that a good crowd and a good juice from a crowd would be helpful, it's tonight. You're just given where they are, after losing two on the road and one tough game at a rivalry place and then just getting smoked a week ago. But hopefully, hopefully big crowd and they get some juice out of it and get a dub.
This in the chat line, are the pundits getting lazy sticking with the same old? It's easy. They don't do their jobs checking teams out. How did they miss Baylor so bad? I mean, one, there's really no reward for sticking your neck out there and making these kind of wild preseason predictions, because when you invariably get them wrong, people will just dunk on you on Twitter. And then two, no one around here thought you'd start 0-5, right?
Yeah.
And yet here we are. So, I mean, part of it's just sports, and then the other part of it is just there's no incentive to be.
Yeah, I'd like to be with regard to what I'm about to say, I'd like to be the pleasant surprise all the time. But if we could all just sit around and get this right with our preseason polls, it would make things awful boring. Now, I like I said, I'd rather be on the pleasant surprise side of that. Well, this Tech teams are going to finish 500 and all of a sudden they're, you know, 11-6 or whatever the number should be. But Yeah, that's that. You know, if it was so easy to forecast, and you know, then it, I don't know, the world would be a less exciting place, I guess. You know, and the thing you'll never get right is anticipating clearly all the injuries and the impact guys.
More Tech Talk next on Lubbock's Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Solving life's mysteries one at a time.
Sometimes when we swallow our carbonated drinks, they go down our esophagus, and sometimes they don't.
That is the single most impressive thing I've ever done,
yeah.
By the way. Not like just dribble it everywhere on the desk.
That's true. You did keep it all contained.
Oh my gosh.
This is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com alongside Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. Joining you today until 6, we'll have Red Raider men's basketball. Yours tonight. Coverage at 7. Tip off at 8, Red Raiders and the Baylor Bears here in Lubbock. I don't know if you saw this, Gus. It was kind of around a busy time. But did you know that the president of Baylor, Linda Livingston, is the chairperson of the NCAA's Board of Governors? It's not that boring, I promise.
I know. Caught me yawn. I feel like we talked about that, or I think feel like we noted that last year. But is there a? Are you leading to something more of consequence?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends. But and you know who the new NCAA president is, right? I don't necessarily need a name, but what's his background?
I don't remember.
Former governor of Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And starts here in March, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
No, absolutely zero experience
right.
in terms of college athletics. He did go to college. He might have played
right.
like Ivy League basketball or something.
It's as outside the box as Kevin Yormark is the Big
Brett
12
Yormark,
commissioner.
Yeah.
Brett Yormark. Yeah.
And here is Linda Livingston saying, quote, Congress is really the only entity that can affirm student athletes' unique status. We have to ensure that Congress understands what's at stake and motivate them to act. That's their Hail Mary.
Goodness.
The NCAA has no plan, no idea, no clue
right.
how to fix major college sports, specifically college football and college basketball. And now they're at the point where they're just begging Congress, and good luck with that. They're begging Congress to hey, can you fix this mess that we've made, please? Can you tell us what to do?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, who's leading the congressional effort on that is Coach Tuberville. Sorry, Senator Tuberville. So, you know, whatever you want to think about that. I mean,
I have plenty of thoughts.
I know, I understand it, but we're 10 years out from that guy roaming our sidelines, and there it is. Now that he may have as much perspective as anyone in Washington D.C. on the issues there, but you know that they'll he'll be quick to talk about the fact that it's. You know, there's not easy solutions, even, you know, when he's offered thoughtful conversation, when he wasn't yelling about Herschel Walker and all that stuff. But just, yeah, that, you know, he...
Because you have different states now with different NIL
right.
rules and regulations. There's no kind of national clearinghouse type thing of NIL deals. There is a very kind of, I don't know, lukewarm enthusiasm for even trying to limit this thing in any way possible, because they, you know, their last time out in the court system, they got spanked, right, which led to NIL. And so I think they're afraid of further losses like that in the courts. And so you have these inconsistent rules based on states, based on conferences, and it's just continuing to spiral.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no clear solution, right? And it's like, I am for players getting paid. I think that is long overdue. I think that they should be able to move relatively freely, much like the coaches. But at the same time, I can also, you know, acknowledge, and this is kind of the inner conflict, that, man, it just, this is not going in a good direction for the sport. Now, maybe that's, you know, in the grand scheme of things, immaterial, and it will just kind of fade away, which would be really, really bad. But it's just hurtling, it seems, faster and faster in an untenable situation.
Yeah. And you know, that one of the things about NIL is, you know, it's sort of unregulated because it's off campus. You know, there's the good and the bad of it, right? Players are getting paid now, and that's been a desire of a lot of folks, but it's not coming out of the athletic department's money around the country. And so, you know, good and the bad, you don't have any control over it. There's not a lot it's very difficult without a collective bargaining type effort, and we get into labor law or whatever, but the, you know, to say, hey, you, sir, you American citizen, you can't earn that much money. You know, our system's not built that way. And so, you know, when those things are, you know, when there's an attempt to regulate, rein in free enterprise, or however you want to do this, it's difficult. And so, you know, another thing to think about, you know, because I've wondered where NIL collectives run in any sort of congruence with Title IX, right? I mean, and I guess it may be one area of necessarily regulation, but it probably pushes in the other direction from regulation, because if an NIL collective gets too close to a campus, gets too close to a university, at that point, you know, if it felt like, or if there was some sort of a legal connection or whatever, if Texas Tech was saying, hey, pay him this much and her that much, and him, if Texas Tech was driving that, or whoever, Oregon, Northwestern, whatever, fill in the blank.
Probably not Northwestern.
Right, yeah, right, whatever. But yeah, you're right, Tennessee.
Sure.
But if there was some direction and oversight to that, and there's no 50-50, then a Title IX issue could creep up. I mean, I don't think it wouldn't take much to incur some Title IX liability if those lines don't stay distant and apart.
It would be incredibly rich for the federal government to ding a booster collective and a university for being too closely aligned, right, for kind of collusion, when it happens every day in politics with super PACs.
Right.
Every day.
Exactly.
Everybody, both sides, everybody does it. It's not enforced. And so for the government to go out and say, no, you have to be totally separate,
right,
I would give a hearty chuckle to that.
Yeah, and you know, and it may very well be the reason why, you know, Senator Tuberville and others are having a difficult time with this. The hypocrisy of this, and I don't know that. I mean, because the real key here is you would have to have some agreement among NIL collectives. And Tennessee's not going to go, okay, Texas, if you'll just pay your football team $5 million, we'll just pay off. Wink, wink, sure. You know, I mean, there's no shot at because the NCAA was good at, or whatever, made an attempt over their last 100 years to try to keep the playing field even, at least with regard to you get 90 scholarships, you get 90 scholarships, that sort of thing. But, I mean, the NIL collective and getting them to agree on anything, there's no shot.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at doublet973.com.